Instant messaging, texting, and Twittering, are they ruining the English language? Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has his ear to the keypad and gives us this report.
By 1848, the new electric telegraph was already being hailed as a modern marvel that would revolutionize commerce, journalism, and warfare. And in that year, a prominent New York attorney and editor named Conrad Swackhammer wrote an article predicting that it would transform the language as well. Swackhammer noted that the telegraph required its users to be direct and concise. As people got used to sending and receiving telegrams and reading the telegraph dispatches in the newspapers, they'd inevitably cast off the verbosity and complexity of the prevalent English style. The telegraphic style, as Swackhammer called it, would be terse, condensed, and utterly ignorant of synonyms, and it would raise the English language to a new standard of perfection. That was the first time anybody ever used the word telegraphic to describe a style of writing, with the implication that a new communications technology would naturally leave its mark on the language itself. It's an idea that has resurfaced with the appearance of every writing tool from the typewriter to the word processor. And now there's a resurgence of Swackhammerism as the keypad is passed to a new generation and commentators ponder the deeper linguistic significance of the codes and shortcuts that have evolved around instant messaging and cell phone texting. The topic got a lot of recent media play with the release of a study on teens and writing sponsored by the College Board and the Pew Research Center. According to the report, more than half of teens say they've sometimes used texting shortcuts in their school writing. The story was a natural for journalists. It combined three themes that have been a staple of feature writing for 150 years. The language is going to hell in a handbasket, you'll never get me up onto one of those newfangled things, and kids today, I'm here to tell you. It wasn't hard to find critics who warned of apocalyptic consequences for the language. James Billington, the Librarian of Congress, said that IM and texting were bringing about the slow destruction of the basic unit of human thought, the sentence. And the enthusiasts of the new media countered with equally momentous predictions. According to Richard Sterling of the National Commission on Writing, IM and texting will naturally erode the conventions of formal writing. Within a few decades, we probably won't be capitalizing the first words of sentences anymore. In response to that prediction, the Boston Globe published an editorial called The Revenge of E.E. Cummings that had no capital letters and was laced with LOLs and texting abbreviations. It had me wondering which is more embarrassing, hearing old people use teenage slang or hearing them make fun of it. I've got a little prediction to make myself. A generation from now, all this stuff is going to sound awfully silly. Did people really imagine that rules of written English sentence structure that go back to the Renaissance would suddenly crumble because teenagers took to texting each other over their cell phones instead of passing notes under their desks in class? In fact, apart from contributing some slang and jargon, new writing technologies rarely have much of an effect on the language. They can give rise to specialized codes, but those tend to run alongside the broad channel of standard English without ever mixing with it. As Conrad Swackhammer predicted, the Victorians developed a breathlessly compressed style for sending telegrams, like the message that Henry James had one of his characters cable in Portrait of a Lady. Tired America, hot weather awful, return England with Nice. But that telegraphic style didn't leave any traces on Victorian prose. When you think of James' own writing, terse and condensed are not exactly the words that come to mind. The linguistic features of the new media are sure to follow the same pattern. Take emoticons. Used sparingly, they can delicately shade the reception of an email. My dean at Berkeley is a master of the deft smiley that turneth away wrath. But it'll be a cold day at the copy desk before you encounter a smiley in the pages of the New York Review of Books. What happens in email stays in email. Kids catch on to this quickly. They may sometimes let texting shortcuts slip into their schoolwork, but they know that there are different rules for formal writing and that you ignore them at your peril. The people at the College Board report that they almost never see students using those shortcuts in their SAT essays. I mean, how dumb would that be? In fact, that Pew study reported that a majority of the kids who use IM and texting don't consider them as real writing at all. And if you think of writing as an intellectual exercise, they're probably right. You're not going to learn a lot about organizing your ideas from punching in text messages against a 160-character limit. But there's another, more basic notion of writing as a process of turning mental activity into automatic manual gestures. And in that sense, the new technologies do make a difference. As the telegraph first showed, the wonder of modern writing tools is how they can accelerate that process until it seems almost instantaneous. They turn writing into the cognitive equivalent of a Twitch game like Pac-Man or Tetris. The difference is that in the old days, you had to go and engage somebody to tap out your thoughts for you with his index finger. Now we can do that with our own thumbs from wherever we happen to be.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist who teaches at the School of Information at the University of California at Berkeley.